The Lord calls us to worship this morning from the book of Psalms, chapter 95. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day that you have given us. And Lord, we pray that you would turn our hearts to you as the words say in Psalm 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts today that we might see and behold life and beauty in you and the gospel. We praise you and we thank you for your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming into the world. And we pray, Lord, that you would show us the paths of righteousness in your word, that we might walk in them, that we might experience joy and pleasure and delight in your presence today. And we bow before you, our King, and we pray that you would humbly accept our worship for the sake of Jesus alone. And we join our hearts together now and our voices as we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, saying out loud, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. This morning for our confession of faith, we're going to recite together the Apostles' Creed. It's on page 845 in the green hymnal, if you would like to turn there. I'm going to begin by asking you, Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
For all who call upon the Lord by faith and look to the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, hear these words of the assurance of God's pardon of your sins. From the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. you shall see no more disaster. The Lord your God is in your midst, the mighty one. He will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Amen. Let's continue to worship now by turning in your hymnal to number 523 and sing together, My Hope is in the Lord. Time for the children's sermon. Well, good morning, boys and girls. Scooch in. Scooch in. We have plenty of room. Good morning. Good to see you all. I wanted to ask you a question this morning, see if you recognize a phrase. Does anybody know the phrase, Lord willing?
What?
Lord willing. Have you ever heard your parents or your grandparents or someone say, well, we're going to do that tomorrow, or we're going to be there tomorrow, Lord willing? Have you ever heard somebody say that? Yes, yes. So I want to read a verse, and then I want to talk to you about why I think this is a really important thing for you to think about and consider, and maybe even for a way for you to begin to talk about the things that you hope to do. This is from the book of James in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, all such boasting is evil. James was saying that you should actually think about your life and the things that you plan to do or hope to do, not as though you can confidently say, I know all things. I know I'm going to do this. But rather you should say, if the Lord wills, I'm going to do it. It really does change the way that you think about it. And actually, I think it actually would help you, even if your plans get frustrated or changed. How many of you ever thought, I'm going to do this, and then it didn't happen? All of you. All of you. Raise your hands. Yes, all of us. We have all made plans, and then it didn't happen. This verse in the Bible reminds us, And maybe these words in your lips will remind you, if the Lord wills, I'll do it. But I am not all powerful. I can't make things happen. I don't even know what might happen later today. But if the Lord wills, I will do this or that. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, we rejoice and give thanks to you that you have blessed our church with so many covenant children. We thank you and praise you for their young voices that sing your praises along with us as a congregation, as a family of God. Lord, I pray that you would help our young people, help our children, help our adults, help all of us, Lord, to have these words in our minds and in our mouths, that if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. Because this is your world. You are the sovereign King. And we pray that we would be delighted to know that you are the one planning our steps. You have given us life. Lord, I pray that for these children also, that they would be content to know that the things that you give them to do in a given day are for your glory and for their good. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. This morning for our responsive reading, we're going to read Psalm 37, verses 1 through 9. If you would, please turn to page 797 in your hymnal. Page 797, Psalm 37, verses 1 through 9. I'll begin with the light portion. Please respond out loud together with the bold. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong.
For like grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away.
Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture.
Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you desires from your heart.
Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this.
He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun.
Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for Him.
Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes.
Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil.
For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land.
Amen. Let's stand together now as we continue to worship and turn in your hymnal to number 305 as we sing, Arise, My Soul, Arise.
Of your guilty fears, of the inside.
This month for our pastoral prayer time, we're praying for the PCA Disaster Response Ministry and for Reverend Steve Jessen that we've met some time ago now, but also wanted to pray for our teenagers who are going to the Ligonier's Conference here in Columbia, South Carolina this Thursday from 5 to 9 p.m. They're going to hear the Always Ready Conference. Nathan Bingham and Stephen Nichols are the speakers, and excited really for them to go. I want to pray for the Lord's safety for them, but also for the Lord's Spirit to be in and moving among them in good Bible teaching and good fellowship together. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, what a joy and a privilege it is to gather as your people, to be in this room together on this Lord's Day, knowing that you appointed it from all eternity, that we would be gathered as your people to worship you, to sing praises unto you, to hear your word proclaimed. Lord, I pray that you would steady our hearts and our minds with much that is moving and seems unsure and unstable in the world around us. I pray that you would help us to know that you are the sovereign King who rules all of your universe, that your hand is upon everything, every event that happened, every king that makes a decision, everything that happens in our lives, nothing comes into it apart from your loving fatherly hand. We rejoice in the sunshine of that today. We pray that you would help us to trust you and to believe by faith that what your word says is true. Lord, we lift up to you the PCA Disaster Response Ministry. We thank you, Lord, for being able to participate in it. And we pray that you would bless those who are going to help others in times of very critical need. We pray that you would bless those who experience these disasters, who some of them lose their homes or all of their worldly possessions, who are going through great crisis. And in those moments, you send your people to go and to help them in their real physical needs, but also to go and share the gospel with them, to share the words of life and words of hope that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to die for sinners like us. Lord, I pray that you would bless Steve Jessen and his family. I pray that you would be with them as they travel and do trainings, that you would equip them for all of the work that they have. And Lord, I pray a special prayer also for our young people this week as they head to Columbia to enjoy this conference. Lord, I pray that you would be working mightily among them, that you would use the words of life to encourage their hearts, to help them to, as your word says, to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies in them. Lord, I pray that you would be superintending everything that's happening, their travel, their worship, the Bible in their hand, the way they read and understand things. I pray that you would order out their week, that this would be a time of great celebration of your goodness. And Lord, I do pray for their protection and those who will be going with them. Lord, we pray that you would also pour out your Spirit upon us here and now. In just a few moments, as we read your word, Lord, I pray that it would do the work that you have desired and planned that it will accomplish. And I pray that you would open our eyes that we might see and behold wonderful things out of your law. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh.
I want to invite you this morning to turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 81. Psalm 81, our scripture reading for this morning is verses 1 through 5. The sermon is entitled, Sing Aloud to God. Psalm 81, verses 1 through 5. This is the word of the Lord. Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon, on our solemn feast day. For this is a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. This he established in Joseph as a testimony. When he went throughout the land of Egypt, where I heard a language I did not understand. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God abides forever. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to consider Psalm 81. This morning, we're going to look very carefully at verses 1 through 5. And I want to speak with you and consider for a few moments this morning the topics and ideas of worship and identity as we see them here in Psalm 81. In Psalm 19, it says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth his handiwork. This is a verse that tells us of the general revelation of God, that you and I may go outside and see the beauty of this spring season. As you see things coming back to life, as you see fruit appearing on trees and grass that you have to mow, it is a reminder that there is a God who made this universe. It is general revelation. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it goes from general revelation that we just read in Psalm 19 to very specific and special revelation. He says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." That is special revelation. That in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself calls you out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. I told you I was thinking this morning of considering these ideas of worship and identity. And you might have noticed that in our songs, in our call to worship, in our scripture readings this morning, we have been considering and saying and talking about singing to the Lord. And that's an aspect of worship. It is a beautiful gift that the Lord has given his people to worship him with song. But we're also to worship him with our words. As we think about this psalm, as we think about what it means to worship God, I want to ask you, and I'm going to change a little bit the order of what I was hoping to do this morning. I want to change it just slightly. I want to ask you, why were you made? And why are you here? Not why are you here at Lebanon, maybe, but why are you here on this earth? Why did God create you? Now, some of you may answer that question and say, well, God called me to be a carpenter, or God made me an electrician or a mathematician, or God made me this or that, or I'm a homeschooling mom, or I'm a teacher. But first and foremost, according to the Bible, you were created to be a worshiper of the living God, to image forth his greatness and beauty and glory and wonder in this world. The things that you might describe that you do as a calling are not what you were made to do. You were made to worship and be in relationship with the living God. So this morning I want to talk about worship under three headings very briefly. Worship that is identity, worship that is command, and lastly, worship that is glorious. So number one, worship that is identity. In the text that we read this morning, it says that we are to sing to the God, our strength, the God of Jacob. We are to sing and praise him on our solemn feast day, that this was given as a statute for Israel, the God of Israel, and in Joseph, these commands were given. There's a lot of rich covenant history that we could cover as we think about these verses. And if you have some time this afternoon, I want to encourage you to turn to the Old Testament book of Leviticus and read chapter 23. Read about the feasts of God as it begins that chapter. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Booths, and what God's people were celebrating as they remembered. And actually, you might think that it's not in there. Maybe you haven't dusted off Leviticus in a while. But it says that they were to begin the feast around the Day of Atonement with the blowing of trumpets. And they were to celebrate it. It wasn't a dirge. It wasn't a funeral. Yes, they were to, in the New King James language, afflict themselves. They were to celebrate a fast and observe it before God. And any who didn't do it were considered cursed. But they were to celebrate the atonement of the living God, that their sins could be taken away. I want to ask you again, why were you made? Why are you here? Why does God have you living in this time? Why are you here now? You are here to worship the living God. The Westminster Shorter Catechism says in question number 1, what is man's chief end? And the answer says, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So worship that is identity under 2 maybe subheadings. We were created to image God. In the book of Genesis, it says this in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. John Piper wrote saying a human being is a creature of God with a nature designed by God to consciously display God's greatness and His beauty and His worth. That fundamentally, you and I were created by God to show forth His nature and identity for His glory. That's why you were made. To be in a relationship with Him, to image forth, to show forth His glory. If we were to put up a statue in the fellowship hall of a great saint who has now gone to be with the Lord, that statue would be there to remind you, this is what that person looks like. You would remember things about them. You would see them. You know it's not them. It's to represent them. And that's what you are. All of us. We are living beings to image forth the glory and the greatness and the wonder and the majesty and the beauty of God. And His all-surpassing worth. That's why you were created. In Isaiah 43, verses 6 and 7, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. We believe, as you stated this morning in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. So when we read those words in Isaiah 43, it is not poetic language. It is a description of what God means to say about His people. Bring my sons and my daughters who I created for my glory. I made them. They are mine. Jesus would say in John, I know my sheep and they know my voice. You were created to hearken to the command of the living God, to be in His presence. So our first creation in Adam, as we read in Genesis chapter 1, our first creation in Adam means that all of us as human beings have a unique identity that is wonderful, a nature that was designed by God in order to point forward to or to display His image and His greatness and His beauty and His worth. That's my identity. That's your identity by virtue of Him creating us. I don't have to go find it. I don't have to go buy it. I don't have to fashion it or figure it out. I don't have to wake up tomorrow and figure out how to remake myself. I have been made for my Creator's glory to enjoy Him. But you know the story in the rest of the book of Genesis. We fell. In other words, we said and have been saying ever since, you've said it, I say it. No. No, I don't see it. I don't enjoy it. I don't want that as my identity. I will savor and show forth my greatness. I will show and display an image for my beauty and for my worth. That's what I'm going to do. That's my life. I can make it what I want. I can be a self-created man or woman. And that's what the world does. Everyone in this world does until something happens. Namely, until God moves in to their life. We believe that we are dead in sin apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in us until God moves in, and He never fails. There's never a person that He said, that's one of my sons or daughters, and He went to get them and then, oops, He missed. I overshot it, so I missed her. Or I undershot it, and so now He's not part of the kingdom. When Jesus came, He said, I lost none. He meant none. None did He lose. So He does what He says in this planet that is His, and He will absolutely get glory. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, for all have sinned, and notice this, and fall short of the glory of God. If you and I were writing that, maybe we would say something else. For all have sinned and fallen short of the commands of God. I don't do what He says to do. I look at the Ten Commandments and they are a testimony in my face that I don't do the things that God commands His people to do. I can't do the first one or 2 through 10 either. And yet Paul wrote, divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do you realize what that means? That you and I could go around living our lives, spend 60, 70, 80, 90 years not living up to the glory of God. Apart from His work in us, we won't. You could waste that many years. You could accomplish everything that this world has to offer and yet not behold the glory of God. It says that because of our sin, we fall short of the glory of God. We could miss seeing why we were made. That is an awesome and wonderful privilege to be in His presence and to think that I might miss it and that for everything in me, I would actually work against seeing it. All of my gifts, all my skills, all my abilities would actually keep me from that if it was up to me. But the good news is that the Lord Jesus came, that we have been recreated in Christ for the glory of God. Jesus was sent into the world as the Son of God. We celebrated it at Easter, His life, death, and resurrection. He died to bear the penalty for our treason before a holy God, and He rises. He rose for our justification, and He pours out His Spirit into our lives and begins a recreation process that what was lost in the fall, Jesus comes and wins back and gives to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do you know that about yourself? That if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and He has moved in your heart by His Spirit and quickened you and given you faith, you are a new creation. A new creation created for the glory of God. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, it says that we have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. This image that we are to show forth and bear and exemplify and show as beautiful and wonderful. That's why you were made. It's why you were created. But there's a little bit of a problem, or maybe it rose up in your heart as we read it this morning in this text. That's number one, worship is identity. But number two, worship, that is command. It says this is a statute for Israel, a law of God for Jacob. This He established in Joseph as a testimony. I want to ask you this morning, when you read the commands of God that we just read, how can one rejoice to an order? Have you ever done that with your children or your spouse or maybe standing in the mirror in the morning? You will be happy. He's commanding, rejoicing and singing and shouting for the praise of God here. Can love be commanded? Can worship and excitement and honor and joy be commanded? Isn't love spontaneous and uncontrolled and unable to be hindered in any way? Doesn't it have to be something that comes from a place of spontaneity and not something that's planned or commanded or that you respond to? A commentator on the book of Psalms says this about worship as a command. It is a sufficient motive for observation of any religious action that God has ordained it. So we don't have to qualify it. We don't have to change our words. Every Sunday morning, you hear these words, or something pretty close. Let us stand together as the Lord calls us to worship. And I've never, ever heard anyone say out loud, no. Thank you very much. No. We stand as a symbol of honor and reverence for the living God who calls us as His people to Himself, to worship Him, to praise Him. We hear His call to worship. It's not a call like, hey, I was hoping you could come over and help. This is a call. This is the Creator God, the Almighty King, who sits upon a throne, who says, you will worship me. And we gladly and thankfully stand and worship Him every Sunday. The commentator goes on to say that the ordinance of God are a witness of His will. In the singing and the reading of scriptures, the preaching of the word, in the prayers of the saints, we see a witness to the will of God, how He is to be served. We see a witness of His good will to us and His care over us, and also of our faith and obedience to Him. Even our worship is to test and to testify either for or against us. Am I cringing in worship? Do I grumble and kind of grind the words out through my teeth as we sing a hymn? As I hear the words of assurance, is my heart warm to the glory and the beauty and the wonder of Jesus, my Savior, who came to die for me and rose for my justification? Am I rejoicing in His presence? Can worship really be commanded? There's another command in Scripture, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says, forsake not the gathering of yourselves or the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That it actually says that if you believe we're living in the end times, you should be more urgent about coming to worship. Not that there should be a time to be less urgent, but even more as you see the day approaching. There is coming a day you will meet Him face to face. You will see Him as judge, or you will see Him as King to love and worship and fall down in honor and praise. He absolutely will receive glory. There is no doubt. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. So lastly, worship that is glorious. I kind of went backwards in my outline, so it's a little bit odd looking at my notes. But I think this makes sense, because until you see the ugliness of the fall and the heinousness of your sin before the living God and the wonder of Jesus coming into the world, then when you hit the command to worship God, you bounce right off of it. Your heart hates Him. I won't do that. No. It's exactly what I said a moment ago. No, I will image forth my beauty and my glory and my worth. And yet as you come to the cross and see the empty tomb, you're reminded of His wonder and beauty. How can you not but rise and sing worship that is glorious? It says, sing aloud to God, make a joyful shout, raise a song, strike the timbrel, blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon. This was a reminder to God's people as a psalm of ascent that they were going to celebrate the feasts of God. They blew the trumpet as a reminder. It was a call. It is time as God's people to gather together. Yes, you should worship Him individually and as a family in your home. But God is calling us as His people because He's made us a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. We are to gather together to worship Him and to sing praises to Him. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19 say that we are to be filled with the Spirit, singing and making melody in our heart to God. We absolutely have a blessed church. I don't know if you noticed it. I don't know if you've been anywhere else. We are a singing church. The Lord has blessed us with music, wonderful musicians, faithful people in our choir. We have a wonderful blessing of getting to celebrate and enact and live out the worship of the living God. And every Sunday we do so, singing praise to the God of the universe, joining our voices with those of saints around the world, and those who are joined about the throne. Praise be to the living God. Psalm 100, Verses 2 and 4, come before his presence with singing, enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. It is right to hear those words and to respond to them. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12, quoting from Psalm 22, which actually these words are attributed to Jesus. It's about him. He says, Jesus says, I will declare your name, speaking to his Father. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. I thought about that this week as I was reading through Psalm 22 and then again through Hebrews chapter 2. How could we not worship God when it says that Jesus is blessing his Father's name? How could we think that there's anything less that we owe God than absolutely all of our worship? Absolutely every bit of it. But it's not something you owe. I don't want you to hear a message this morning that says, okay, there's another thing on your to-do list. This is a message about delight and wonder and singing aloud to the God who saved you and who walks with you every day. I ask you this morning, is there a melody in your heart? As you go through your days, do you know the living God and his love and pleasure for you? That he calls you a son or a daughter, that you belong to him. And so as you go through that day, do you know the beauty and the wonder of being able to say that no matter what happens to me, my Father is with me and he is ordering all things for my good and for his glory. And he's left me here as long as he has, that I would live and do this and be a blessing to other people. I want to ask you, as you think about sharing the gospel, sharing your faith, what is it that you share? Is it that God helps people who can't get it right to get it right? Is it that God helps people who need a little bit of a boost? I can do about 90%, but Jesus does the heavy lifting. You know in your own heart of hearts that that's not true. That if Jesus doesn't lift 100%, I don't move. Jesus is not a life coach. He's not a helper. Jesus is your King. He's your Master. He's your Lord. He is the great servant, the one who came and poured out his life that you might know him. I pray that he puts that melody in your heart, and I rejoice with those of you who are singing, and I see it on your faces right now. You are singing not just on Sunday mornings. You are singing in your heart, making melody to God, and it pours out in your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you and praise you for being who you are, for creating this world, for sending your Son Jesus to die for sinners like us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to think about the greatness and the wonder of our salvation, that we might sing and proclaim your beauty and wonder to ourselves, to our children, to our neighbors and our friends, that we would think about this message that we have that the apostle said we have in jars of clay. Lord, I pray that you would use us to show forth your glory. Lord, I pray for any in the room this morning who hear this message and maybe they hear it, they believe it, but life has dealt them blow after blow after blow and they are struggling. Lord, I pray that you would show them, give them light to see that it's not life that has brought them troubles and hardships and sorrows. It is from your sovereign providential hand that you bring all things into our lives. Lord, I pray that we would see that and rest in it, that we would submit to it. And I pray that you would pour out great comfort through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together now and respond to God's word by singing the insert in your bulletin, I Sing the Mighty Power of God.
I see.
seated as we take an offering to the glory of God. Father, we thank you for the gift and the blessing of music that we do enjoy here. We pray that you would help us to consider that as a kindness from your hand. And Lord, I pray as we think about now our tithes and our offerings that we have just given, I pray that you would help our hearts, Lord, that we would consider our giving not a way to earn something from you, but as an act of worship and praise and thanksgiving, that you are the God beyond all praising, that you watch over our lives, over our families, over this great nation, and over your people. Lord, help us to consider it that way, that we might have our hands not so tightly gripping the things of this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Benediction of our Lord from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.